And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la, this is Matt Time Radio.
All right, everybody, we're back. Matt Town Radio. I'm Rich, and got Krell here with me.
Yes, sir.
Coming at you from downtown LA, Skid Row Studios. And I just want to let you all know that we are live, and you can call the show 1-800-893-9562, or you can check out the show on Stitcher, or download our past episodes on iTunes. So, Krell, who we have in studio with us today?
Yeah. Oh, don't forget, then go to skidrowstudios.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Man, we got a MMA superstar in the house today, man. This guy's got, like, fights with some top-name dudes all over the world, man. He's fought in Japan, Canada, the United States. Who knows where else, man. We got Savant Young in the house. Say what's up, Savant.
What's up? What's up, Chris, Rich? How y'all doing, man?
Very good. Thanks for coming in studio today.
That was my fake applause. That's not too good, right?
That was our in-studio crowd in the back.
Oh, we should have done this one, right? Oh,
no. Uh-oh.
No, I like the first one.
You like the first one?
One more time, hit it. All right. Yeah, okay. I'm ready now.
Okay, wait. Are we broadcasting from LA or from Long Beach?
Strong Beach.
Is that the premiere just went by?
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming by, Savant, man. I appreciate your time.
Oh, man. I'm definitely happy to be here, man. Ain't been on the air for a while, so it's good to get on here and chop it up a little bit, let everybody know what I got going on. And
hey, you've been in this fight game for a while too, man, right?
Yeah, man. You know, that's another way of saying I'm getting old, so I don't know if I want to answer that, but yeah, I've been around for a bit.
Yeah,
first fight was, man, back in 98 or 99, something like that. So I guess I'm what you call old school.
Yeah, you seen the fight game change a lot?
Yeah, it keeps changing. I think that's the problem. You know what I mean? They keep trying to dilute what we're doing. So, you know, it's changing good and bad. You know what I mean? It's growing. That's a good thing. I'm still employed.
Mm.
And I'm able to do something outside of fighting when I'm done fighting. So I guess, you know, I accept it growing in terms of that yeah. aspect.
Yeah. Paid your dues, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
And Savant, how did you get your start in MMA? What brought you in that direction?
I was just a knucklehead, man. You know, I grew up in the hood and, you know, I was always, fighting on the street. And, you know, we watched UFC back in, you know, 93 or 4, and we seen people get paid for it. You know, they was holding up the big checks with $50,000 on it. So I said, man, you know, I think, you can actually get paid to fight like this, you know, not just boxing. And I just started getting a little bit more in tune with it, watching it more, seeing what it entailed, and just started following it religiously, and here I am, you know.
Mm-hmm. You grew up around here?
I grew up in L.A. originally, okay. You know. I grew up in an area called the Low Bottoms, you know, that's over on the east side of L.A., South Central. And from there, I moved out to Eagle Rock.
dude, that was a big move, though, because there was not much going on probably out in Eagle Rock, huh?
Nah, not much at all. You know, I heard about Eagle Rock, but, you know, we never really went past downtown when we lived in the hood, so that was the cutoff, you know. So we moved to Eagle Rock, and I've been out there for a while. Now I reside in Pasadena. That's where my family and everything is, so I like it out there now.
And in the beginning, what was your background? What style did you start in first?
Growing up, I did
ass kicking.
Yeah, I did that. You know, I was the slap box champ in the hood. You know what I mean? But no, I used to I did karate, Shotokan, did like Wing Chun, Kung Fu, all the, you know, the basic stuff starting out, Taekwondo. Yeah, I did it all, you know, because we didn't know what MMA was. So I did that growing up from maybe 9 to 15. And then I started getting into the MMA thing. And I met a guy who fought actually in, I think, the first three UFCs, a cat named Joe Charles. And he's the one who started getting me familiar with all the different fighters and all the different people that did, you know, the real MMA type fighting.
That dude's name sounds so familiar.
Yeah, Joe Charles, man, a.k.a. the Ghetto Man. You know, he's... if it wasn't for him, I really wouldn't be doing this. You know, I got a whole list of other people that helped me, but in terms of the first person that introduced me to it and, you know, took me around and trained me for free for the first few years of my MMA career, you know, I take my hat off to him, Joe Charles. He's an OG dude, a true vet, and he's still in the fitness world. You know, he runs these boot camps out at the Manhattan Beach and all that stuff now. So
in the dunes.
In the dunes, yeah, exactly.
Put some background music, man.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that.
Oh, hold on. Let me turn it down.
And so back then, in your training and working with him, how'd you make your way to the IFL? And how'd they approach you with that idea and that concept?
Before that, man, we was fighting in the backyard, in the back of the club for money, back, you know, anywhere we could fight, we were doing that initially. And then the IFL came about. I already had a few pro fights under my belt, and I was looking for somewhere to get some recognition for on TV, you know, and stuff like that. And we heard about the IFL coming up. I'm real close with Quentin Rampage Jackson. He was supposed to be a coach at the time on the IFL, so they were approaching him with it. So he kind of submitted all our names since we trained together every day, and he knew, you know, the work I used to put in the gym. And you know, it kind of went from there. I went to a tryout, did that, and they told me, you know, if you win your next fight or whatnot, you know, we'll bring you on. And they did that, and it was real good to get in with them, because they kind of changed the game in terms of how MMA was portrayed. You know what I mean? They made it a team sport. They we had weight classes. We had a representative from each weight class, you know, and it felt like, you know, the NFL, NHL, IFL. Yeah. So we really had that team feel. So, you know, I got that shot with them, and that opened the doors up for me, you know, since we kind of separated ourselves from the masses.
Yeah, that almost reminded me of like, it was like MMA and wrestling together, right? The IFL. Yeah, I mean, because you had that whole team environment. And
yeah, I mean, a little bit. You know, like a dual meet. Like dual meet and I thought you were talking WWE. I was about to jump over this damn table.
Hit me with a chair.
No, but it was...
Let me tell you something, brother.
It was that. It was, you know, and it was cool, man, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that no fighter makes it to the ring by itself.
Right.
You know, you got a team of people behind you that get you ready. You got your family, your wife and kids at home taking care of you. So, you know, that was a good look that we did have that team aspect for sure.
A lot of big name guys on there too. Like one Trigg on there on one of those teams somewhere.
Yeah, he was in there. I mean, Henzo Gracie. Mm. We have Vladimir Matyshenko on our team as a fighter. Okay. You know what I mean? So
I remember, you know, I don't know if, I guess Quentin never judged it, but I used to see him. We used to go out back in the day to Saboba Casino before it was like, you know, before he could only have fights on Indian reservations.
Right.
And we used to see.
The King of the Cage?
No, was it? Yeah, King of the Cage, that's right.
Yeah.
So we used to see Quentin Jackson in the background there before he was...
Before he was B.A. Baracus.
Yeah. He's still, I mean, I used to sit there and listen to him talk. I'm like, man, dude, this is crazy.
No, and the funny thing about Quentin, man, that shit, it's no act, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, I know, that's how he is, right? He's from the South, right?
Yeah. He's from, where is he, from Memphis, actually. Yeah, so...
Before the South was cool, that's what he is.
Yeah, he's the real deal, man. I love that dude a lot, man. He's a good kid.
Yeah.
I'm happy for all his success.
Where's he at now, do you know? You keep in touch with him?
I talk to him every now and then. We bag on each other through text. We got like a, you know, 3-year bag fest going on. You know what I mean?
Are you
going
to take that to Twitter? I know you just got a Twitter account.
Yeah, I did just get my Twitter, man. I heard somebody told me I needed a Twitter. I said, okay, I guess I'll, you know, create a Twitter. I heard, you know, GSP get paid $5,000 of Twitter. You know what I mean? I'm like, man,
really?
I'm in the wrong business. You know,
you know, a lot of the, you know what happens? A lot of those guys, if you get enough pull through, you get people that want to advertise with you, right?
Yeah.
So then you'd be like, I just took a shower with my Dove body cleanser soap, right? And Dove pays you some cash. You're like, come on,
I mean,
dude.
As crazy as that is, you know what I mean? you know, if it works, it works. You know, I heard Charlie Sheen, you know, he Twitters for a crazy amount of money, you know, and he's just crazy as hell anyway.
Yeah, so he's crazy.
I'm sure people want to hear what he got to say, you know.
I bet you and Quinn were back and forth after he had that little incident off-roading.
Oh, man. Yeah, that one. It was a couple other little things I don't want to talk about, you know, that we had to get on him about. But, you know, nonetheless, that's my boy, so we can do that to each other.
Yeah. Well, you guys shared some. Yeah, you fought in Japan, too, right?
Yeah.
How's that? How's that when you go from here out there? How's that plane ride and transitioning to a time difference and getting ready to fight? You leave a week early to do that, or
it's pretty cool. I mean, going out there is cool. It's nice to be the only black dude on the plane. You know what I mean? That's kind of nice. You know,
it is nice.
Yeah, you know, I know who, if they're gonna blame something on somebody, it's me. You know, but you know what, man? The Japanese people, seriously, they
thought you were like little Bob Sapp.
Yeah, basically, basically. They, you know, that's funny, man. They used to, I know Bob, and they used to tell it was a little joke. Quentin used to say they was gonna have Bob Sapp carry me out on his shoulders, like
that'd be funny,
like his kid and shit.
Well, he was big, man. My buddy who was stationed out in Japan brought me this clock. It's a big Bob Sapp clock, you know?
Oh, Bob Sapp got all kind of shit.
Yeah, and it would like yell stuff in Japanese and stuff. I was like, man, they put a lot of promotional money behind that dude out there.
Bob Sapp is huge.
Yeah.
Trust me.
He's like a cartoon character.
Man, you don't even know, man.
Even that fight with him and Nogueira, you know, that fight back in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, really?
It's huge out there, man. The Japanese people, they embrace us as true athletes. You know, it's not a, you know, it is a stage show or whatnot, but they respect what we do. Yeah. You know, they really do. I seen when I fought there, I'll never forget, man. It was, I'm in the arena, you know, sold out arena. The whole front row was these old Japanese lady, had to be in their 90s, man. I swear to God. You know what I'm saying? And they were just sitting there cheering and looking at me like, you know, you better kick some ass or we're going to boo you out of here. You know what I mean? Oh. But it was cool to see, you know, such wide spectrum of kids to old folk watching MMA.
I think people make them go there.
You think? Oh, well, yeah, they make you do a lot out there. I ain't going to say too much about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's why that old lady is there instead of out there washing her claws against some rocks or something.
Well, yeah. Is it true, though, that, you know, the Japanese fans, you know, back then, like during the matches, they had a lot of respect and they're really quiet during your matches? You didn't hear a whole bunch?
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, even right now today, you know, every fight they don't cheer until you do something worth cheering for. That's the thing about the Japanese people. If you're just in there laying on them, they're like, and it's kind of good because forces you into action. You know, it makes you want to fight, because when you know if you're doing something and they're cheering, you're kicking his ass. So, you know, that's a good notification for you.
A lot of people in those gyms too, or those arenas that they pack full of people, right?
Oh man, you know, we think a big show here is, you know, the Honda Center, 15,000. Yeah. But, you know, in Japan, you walk into an arena, it's 80, 90,000 people, you know, like you at the Rose Bowl with a ring in the middle of it. You know what I mean? So it's crazy.
Yeah, definitely a big difference between the Japanese fans and the, you know, the U.S. fans. And even, you know, just watching the fights and stuff now, you hear people, they start to boo. And you know, like these people, it's funny how they turn, you know, how they turn on the crowd, you know, like on the fighters and...
Oh yeah, I call them the Hey Brothers. You know what I mean? Those are the guys, man. You know, they love you 1 minute, and then if you ain't doing what they want, they booing you and trying to tell you how to fight your fight.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't really like that, but
yeah, most don't understand position, or they don't understand, you know, that you're trying to advance or a good position, and they think, oh, they're just laying on the ground.
Or adrenaline dump, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of variables that people don't realize that once you get in there, right?
Yeah, I think they just forget that they just want to keep in mind it's just a show for them. You know, they forget this is how I feed my kids. They forget that I really ain't trying to get hurt so I can continue to do it. Of course, I want to put on a show. Of course, I want to knock everybody out I get into the ring with. But, you know, if it don't happen, don't give me enough shit for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. You know, like everyone always says, like, GSP's a boring fighter because, you know, he doesn't go for the kill. But you don't want to get your face smashed up every fight either, right? I mean, you can only have, like, so much longevity when you do that.
Yeah, but for GSP, I mean, I gotta take that one back, man. He got to start fighting, man. I'm cool. GSP stopped fighting ever since Matt Serra knocked him out.
No, you're right, though. I mean, And that exposed his chin, though.
Yeah, his chin is suspect. Yeah. So he developed the best jab in MMA. And he's using it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, he's also training with Freddie Roach, isn't he? So, I mean,
yeah,
world-class boxer, trainer.
That's true. You know, I think Freddie's a mentor. That's his thing. Whatever Freddie say, just work for whatever reason. You know, he ain't even got to put the mitts on with you.
Yeah.
That's true. But I think GSP also, they were talking about his knee injury and the surgery he did. And from what it was my understanding was that the way he had that knee repaired wasn't really the best way to do it. Or at least it's the way that is going to take him a really long recovery time.
You don't want to scrap with Diaz.
He don't want to scrap Diaz. Diaz, man.
I love that dude. He's like,
that's my boy, man.
He want to fight, right?
Yeah. He's everything of what fighters should be in a sense of being ready to go.
Well, you know, the cool thing a lot of people don't like about Diaz, but I mean, he wants to fight, but the guy knows what he's doing. I mean, he's not just out there like swinging punches. Like, what's the name of that dude that fought that Tran guy? God. Remember that dude on the Ultimate Fighter? He's from Westminster. He fought some like gangster dude that was just swinging punches like hailmakers, and they were just tired of sin.
Doesn't sound familiar, but you know, everyone that's seen, you know, Nick Diaz fight, you know, he's throwing all those 50% punches and getting people angry, and he runs a pace that, you know, nobody can keep up with. You know, it seems like he just, that guy's, you know, super athlete, and he's always out there. And,
I mean, he does triathlons.
Yeah. And he's got that weird, like, it's almost like a slap and punch, but it looked like it hurt, right?
I mean, it works. You know, he puts it together, and if he wants to stand up, he can stand up. If you want to grapple, he can grapple. So
it's just so accurate. Those punches are just those 50, you know, he throws them 50%, but I mean, you get hit, you know, way more often, and, you know, it. Little by little, he'll just...
It's either you get hit hard with 3 hard ones or 100 halfway hard ones, you know what I mean? So,
it does take
a toll.
Yeah, definitely. It forces people to, you know, make mistakes and put them in positions where they're not comfortable. And he's always there to capitalize.
And he talks a lot during the fight, too. That's what I love the most, you know what I mean? He talks a gang.
Yeah, it's a smart strategy, you know, on his part. And his brother's like, you know, looks like he's just going to be, you know, just as great as him, too.
Oh, yeah, man. Those dudes are, they good, man. You know who they remind me of? The little man on the Raider helmet. You know what I mean? Nice. Every time I see that, I think of Nick and Nate Diaz. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to be tough growing up with a brother like, you know, like Nick Diaz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my brother had it bad. You know, my younger brother, I used to kick his ass all the time. So I can imagine, you know.
But you come from a big family? You got a big family?
Yeah, I got a big family. I mean, at least the ones I know about. You know? I got a couple brothers, got a sister, and, you know, all varying ages. But, you know, me and my younger brother have been real close. And, he grew up directly with me. We were kind of all scattered out or whatever. So, but yeah, he caught it tough for me, man, all the time. He's 7 years younger. So,
does he fight at all?
He fought a couple times on the amateur circuit, but he never, he hasn't made that transition yet. He's been saying he want to, and, you know, no better person to know than me if you really want to fight, so.
Do you come from a fighting family, or is it just you?
No, it was just me, pretty much. I mean, we come from a fighting family, but not really, legalized fighting.
Right, right.
Defending the family honor?
Yeah, we just scrappers. We were scrappers, man. You know, my mom was a scrapper. That's where I got it from.
Right on. And what's your focus nowadays? Are you still booking fights for yourself?
Yeah, I just fought in December 2nd. I'm getting ready to fight again on March 9th up at Tachi Palace. Mm-hmm. And then I should be fighting again in May up in Canada for the MFC. So, you know, I figure I'm going to give it my last good run. I've been talking to the UFC. You know, I win another fight or so. I'll probably be signing with them by maybe summer, you know, June, July or something like that. So I'm going to just give it that run so that way, you know, I can be validated and actually be in the UFC instead of everybody coming up to me saying, oh, you do the UFC fighting. I'm like, no, I do MMA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you mean UFC? I'm like, so I might as well fight in the UFC so I can be legit, you know, as much as I done fought, you know.
And were you planning to go after the 155 pound division or the 145?
I'm going to probably do 45, but You know, there was a slight chance about a few weeks ago that I could have took a fight at 55 for the UFC. And I accepted it, but they, you know, another guy was on it before me. And I would have fought at, should I fight at 185? You know what I mean? I'm just a fighter. I don't care what the weight class is. You know, I'm going to get in there and, you know, you beat me, you beat me. I ain't going to die in there. So I'm just ready to go.
Right. When the Big Show calls, you don't say no.
No, you don't say no to that, man. Not at all.
Are you more of a stand-up fighter or are you a ground fighter? Or?
Yeah, I'm more of a striker. You know,
striker?
Yeah, I'm more of a striker. I had to learn the ground because, you know, in this game, if you don't learn the ground, you're not going to do good. You know, it's kind of like basketball. You got to be able to shoot on both sides. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's my deal now. And
What's your record?
Right now, I'm 13-8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 13-8, and I done fought, man, a lot of the top people. You know, I was in the top 10 at 145 for a second. So, you know, it's been good so far, man.
Yeah.
You got some big dudes. You find it hard now to balance still training for a fight? Because you got your own gym now, right?
Yeah.
How long has that been around for now?
Going on my third year, Fight Academy of Pasadena, right in the old town. We, you know, it's a real good family vibe, so you know they know when I'm getting ready for a fight, they kind of let me do my thing. You know, the parents understand, and it's kind of like you know, the leader's getting ready to go represent the gym, they want to make sure that I'm prepared in the best way possible, and they all kind of rally behind me. And that's really the only reason why I'm still fighting right now, is that because I got so many people in the gym that count on me to represent with them, you know. So I gotta do it until I'm physically unable to do it.
Yeah, well, you're always gonna be a fighter, though, right? I mean, you're always gonna want to get out there and do it, even if it's in there just training people at the gym. I mean,
yeah, I'll do it in the gym forever. You know, I'm a train and box and spar, do everything. But as far as competitive and dealing with the weight cutting, you know, I like to eat, man, drink beers. You know what I mean? So, I like to enjoy myself, and it take a lot from the family. You know what I mean? My wife had to put up with a whole lot. She's watched me my whole career. You know, we've been together since high school, so she's seen me, want to fight, become a fighter, and do it. You know, so
well, at least you're fighting for money now.
Oh yeah, that's a right? plus, because if I didn't make nothing out of it, it was a waste of time. Yeah. You know,
but do you? I mean, is it just? It just seems like a lot of work, right? You run an academy, you got to deal with the weight cut and stuff. So when you're done with all that, are you just going to run the gym full time? You're going to open another gym?
Yeah, that's our plan. You know, we're looking to multiply what we're doing. You know, Fight Academy's going good. We got a good model. We got a good energy. You know, we're validated as a gym that produce fighters. So at some point, I want to be able to just be a coach and be a manager and be able to, you know, let some of these kids not make some of the same mistakes I made career-wise, because they need somebody there telling them, look, man, you know, as soon as you get paid, don't go buy a car. You know what I mean? Like, you need somebody there that's going to be behind you so you don't mess it off.
I mean, that stuff's important. A lot of people don't talk about that, but that's, you know, you make $5,000, you go buy a $10,000 car, now you owe $5,000.
Right.
You know, just because
you're hurt.
Yeah, no medical, no nothing.
And how long has your gym been open?
Almost, it'd be 3 years in August.
So give us a little background on that, because obviously there's probably some people listening don't know about your gym. So what do you guys do? MMA? What do you guys teach over there?
Fight Academy, you know, I like to say we kick ass in a systematic manner. No, I'm just saying. we do a little bit of everything, man. We box, we do wrestling, we do jiu-jitsu, we put it all together, and then we kind of develop in our own style of MMA. You know, we're really trying to give MMA a generalized, you know, structure. Yeah. What you should know to do MMA. A lot of people say just go do Muay Thai and box and wrestling and BJJ and you're an MMA fighter, but MMA has become a sport in its own, and there's techniques that you only apply to MMA. You know what I mean? So,
who's coaching in your gym over there? You got?
I'm there. My coach, Antonio McKee, he's there. I got Martin Gant, Adrian Vasquez, some real good guys. Joseph Del Real, he teaches Muay Thai, and the good thing about our gym and the people that teach there is no, nobody's bigger than nobody. You know what I mean? Right. You can walk into my gym and not even know I own it. You know what I mean? We just kind of do our thing on the floor.
You don't wear a big shirt that says owner on the back?
Nah, man. Come on, you know what I mean? We don't do that, man.
Hey, we got some callers, man.
Yeah, we got a caller in the line.
Want to take some calls?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Let's see if we got him here.
I'm already on the line.
Oh, who is this?
Is this Steve?
Steve from Pipey. What up?
What up, dude? Why you be getting people sick over there? What are you cooking, man?
Hey, I don't cook. Let's keep it clear.
All right.
I don't cook, but Jack in the Box sure does mess some people up.
Come on, man. What you doing? I thought you was training, man.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
He has soy tacos, dude. Come on.
Come on, what up?
What's up, Steve? Fight me in the building. What's good?
Yeah. Hey, you know what's good? Proving Ground 7. Can't wait.
Oh, man. It's going down, man. February 18th. Fight Academy Pasadena, Proving Grounds. Fight Me gonna be there. It's always a good show, man. It's the 7th one. Steve, you been there since the second one?
Since the second one.
That's right.
Man, the second one was crazy.
Yeah.
Every event's been packed and sold out. I advise everybody listening, if you guys don't have tickets yet, I suggest you get them. What's the website? FightAcademyMMA.com?
That's it. FightAcademyMMA.com. Look me up on Facebook. Show up at the gym, no matter how you get there, you know what I mean?
It's on Twitter now, too, man.
Yeah, I got Twitter now, too, so follow me, I guess.
How can we get Matt Time Radio to broadcast from the event? Is that possible?
Oh, man, if they want to come set up shop, you know what I mean? I'll set a table up for you.
Plug in. Give us your word right now, all right.
Why don't we put them at the Fight Me booth?
That's easy. That's easy work.
Only if Richard can wear the stuff the Fight Me girls wear.
Oh, yeah. I've been out of training for a little bit.
I've been out of training a little bit,
so I don't think I look too good in that.
Put your name on the back of some booty shorts, bro. Don't stress.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's funny.
That sounds like a good idea, man.
Yeah, for sure. We can get a mic down there.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah, if y'all down to do that, I'm all for it.
All right.
Yeah, most definitely.
VIP in the parking lot, right? Hey, listen, we got to get your seats, man. We sold these already.
Hey, Savant, congratulations on Antonio, on helping Antonio with that fight, man. That was sick. That was a vicious, vicious fight.
Hey, man, I'll say this, man. That was the best first round Antonio ever fought in his life at 42 years old. This was the best.
Those sidekicks and that suplex, I thought that he literally kicked that guy's soul right out of his chest.
Man, you should have heard him wince on that suplex. We thought it was over.
Oh, my God.
We thought it was over, man.
Hey, you guys are talking about this fight that was on Friday, right?
Yeah, that was the MFC.
Yeah.
Yep, the MFC out in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. It was 3 degrees, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it was...
Hey, Savant, how did Diego's arm end up? Was it cool after the arm bar?
Oh, yeah, Diego was good, man. He was more excited to be fighting than anything, man. He was the happiest cat I know that took a loss ever seen, you know.
He fought a great fight until he got caught. He was dominating that whole fight.
Completely dominating. You know, the kid was a lot bigger than him.
Yep.
And, you know, he's a scrapper, man. So this was his first fight outside the local market. So, you know, he'd be back in May. They inviting him back. You know, I think we both going back out there to fight in May 8th or 9th, maybe. So.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. We going to keep it going real official, man.
Yeah. All right, fellas. Well, listen, I'm not going to keep you too long, but it's cool to hear you on the radio.
No doubt.
It comes through real cool. Shout out to the Matt Time Radio guys. I'll let you guys go.
Hey, Steve, before you go, man, why don't you plug the website where they can find your stuff at?
Oh, you can check out Fight Me Clothing at www.fightmeclothing.com. I suggest for sales and discounts and you know, other cool things like that. And to find out which events we'll be at next, check Facebook. Our Facebook address is facebook.com/officialfightme. The official Fight Me. So facebook.com/officialfightme is where you can find us at. And then Proving Ground 7 is coming up, so make sure you guys catch us there.
Yeah, make sure you let them know where they can follow your Fight Me Girls at, right? Got a Twitter. Yeah, you got that.
You can follow the Fight Me Girls on Facebook and Twitter at Fight Me Girls with a Z. Fight Me Girls with a Z on Facebook and Twitter.
They probably got a million followers and shit.
Yeah, let's see how fast Jeremy can get on that page.
Hey, Jeremy's already on the page. Jeremy's already following them.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, we'll work something out where we bring them in studio too, because they were asking about the radio show soon.
All right.
Oh, for sure.
Jeremy wants to know in advance. He wants to bring two cameras.
I heard that.
Hey, shout out to Sharu, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Get well.
She's not feeling so hot right now, but as soon as she's back up on, you know, back up and running, right, we'll be in the studio.
All right. Tell her not to eat your cooking, man.
I heard that. All right, fellas. Take it easy.
Hey, man. Thanks for the love.
Thanks, you. All right. Later.
All right. Good old Steve, man.
Yeah, he's a cool cat, man. That dude is always cool always good energy every time I'm around him. So
how'd you get hooked up with that cat? Like, how'd you meet him?
Man, I don't even know, man, but I sound like I've known him forever. You know what I'm saying? You know, just through the grapevine, he know people I know, and I keep seeing, like, man, I run into you everywhere, so.
He comes across like that, like a cool, like when we had him in studio, I mean, when he had him in studio, he comes out like you've known the dude forever.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah.
Which is real cool.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, really, you know, our community is, it's pretty small. I mean, you know, everyone kind of knows everybody, especially with these local fights and everything, and, you know, it's good.
Yeah, it is good. You need what you guys are doing is cool, getting it out there and letting everybody, you know, have a media to express their views and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, we try to find all the local guys, but it's cool just to like find out who people are. I mean, you're not just a fighter. I mean, you're an actual person. You got a family and you got this love for the sport. So you built this gym. It's not just like, you know, you just had, you know, $1 million in your bank account and said, hey, I'm just going with this gym, right?
Oh, yeah, no. Nah, like, no corporate money behind Fight Academy Pasadena, man. This is all hard-earned bread.
Yeah.
You know, blood, sweat, and tears, so.
I mean, but you've got a passion for it to, you know, obviously open a gym and try to get some kids off the street.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need that. You know, I grew up in the, you know, the rec center world.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't nowhere for me to go, I'd probably be dead or in jail, so. I'm trying to give back to the community the best way I can. And, you know, although everybody think you can have a, you know, 7,000 square foot place in the middle of Old Town for whatever reason, they think it's free. You know what I mean? But, you know, I try to do what I can. You know what I mean? We the most competitive as far as price and what we offer. And, you know, I always got the hook up for everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's a big spot, man. 7,000 square feet.
Yeah, man, the gym's 7,000 square foot.
What
man.
Was that place before? Airplane hangar? That's what it looks like.
It looked like, yeah. Right? No, it was actually a big printing company or whatever. So we went in there and, you know, kind of gutted it out and turned it into a gym. And, you know, we the best gym, man, in the area. I know that much.
You got them real high ceilings probably. I mean, I see the pictures, man. It looks super nice.
No, it's huge, man. It's a real nice spot. You know, everybody likes it. We done shot plenty of commercials and Herschel Walker did a commercial there, and Tap Out did a commercial there. So it's been good. It's been real good.
You got a cage and a ring and everything?
Yeah, full cage. Got a boxing ring.
Oh, cool.
Got, you know, almost 3,000 square foot of just mat space.
Oh, and really? How many students do you have so far?
Right now, 200. Yeah, 200 or more, you know. We got our goal, you know, once we get to 300 members, we won't even accept anymore. We're going to just close the doors and say, hey, you know, we want our gym to be exclusive. It's a true academy. We just not trying to have the revolving door of all these new people that come in. Since we such a family oriented gym, we want to get you in there and you part of our team. And, you don't stop being a part of our team when you leave the gym. You know, a lot of gym owners forget about they members when they leave. You know, me, I'm in contact with them. You know, they go to, most of them have events. If it's anything I can make it to, I kind of come hang out, do what I can, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just to know them on a personal level too, since they support what we do in that Fight Academy.
And what percentage, I'm sorry, what percentage would you say of people in your gym really want to get out there and start to fight MMA as opposed to some that just want to get in shape?
I think that's the special dynamic of our gym is that we got a good mixture of everything. You know, we got guys that are doctors and cops and I shouldn't say cops now. No, just we got a little bit of everything, man. You know, so but we got maybe it almost be half. I think half of the people come in there want to fight, and half of the people want to train. And I think it's the perfect balance, because when you get a whole room full of people that want to fight, You know, they prima donnas, man.
Yes. What about kids? You guys got a good kids program there?
Oh, I got some little beasts, man.
Oh, yeah, really?
My little kids are shit.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're solid. They're really solid. I got out of 200 students, man, we got about 30 kids, which is rare. You know, most of the time you got a whole room full of kids running around and 10 adults. But we got a solid group of kids, and one of which, a few of which in particular, they've been there since we started, you know, 3 years ago, which is cool. You know, it's one of our little kids. My kid, son and daughter train there. My partner's son and daughter train there. And then our first little OG member, man, this little kid named Nathan, he was walked in at 4 years old and been with us since, you know, till now, man. He's
so you got some little guys in there, huh?
Yeah, we started him at 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, started him at 4.
And tell us about the documentary that just came out. We were talking about it off air.
Yeah, it was on Current TV. We actually talked about it on the last show.
We were really impressed with it.
Yeah, and, it was a good documentary, man.
How'd they approach you with that?
Well, my partner John, he told me he got a call from a guy talking about a reality show, and you know, I'm always like, all right, you know, reality show, here we go again, you know what I mean, what they want us to do or whatever, and especially since it was going to be on MMA, I was real sensitive with how they were going to portray our show. I mean, I'm sure you guys all seen Caged, you know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, I was already kind of like, as long as you don't show us in a bad light, then we're willing to go forward with it. So the producer was real cool. He was really trying to get a real in-depth look at how the amateur fighters, the people that aren't getting paid, how do they go about doing it? You know, willing to take the same injuries and going through the same hard training and all that stuff. So they came and shot us for maybe, you know, a couple months, you know, maybe 2.5 months, better part of 3 months. And so happened we had a fight coming up, you know, luckily, and they had no story. So they just wanted to come film what we did. And I just started feeding them ideas for the story. I said, you know what, man, I think this girl, Crystal, is a special girl. You know, she came into my gym and said she wanted to fight. And when she said she was going to be back a week later, she was there a week later, ready to go. And the other kid, Mark, that was in the show, you know, just a good looking kid, you know what I mean? Just, you know, typical kid, looked like an athlete, you know, don't look like a fighter though, you know what I mean? At all, but he's a really good athlete. And they put it together, and I didn't know what it was going to be, but when I saw the end outcome, I was real impressed with how they put it together, how they created multiple stories within a general story, you know, and you know, they're still airing it. I mean, it aired back in December, and every weekend they've been playing it. So yeah,
we must have caught it on one of the replays. It's actually really good. I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying. It's actually produced very well. And it flows good. But what fight was that? That fight was at your gym, right?
The fight was actually Proving Ground 6.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
Yeah, that was our last show. Again, it was another sellout show. We keep real quaint shows, maybe 500 people in the gym. But you can imagine 500 people inside a 7,000 square foot place, you know. And
what are tickets? How much were tickets for something like that?
We do $40 for tickets.
Oh, that's cheap.
Yeah, we do that. And I mean, we don't do any first come, first serve. You want to sit in the front, you sit in the front.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Okay. Just get there early, you know.
Yeah. Did you find it difficult to actually set up an event like that because of liabilities and things like that with the city? And was there a lot of red tape in the beginning trying to get that going on?
Yeah, the only red tape is money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, right?
Money make anything happen.
No, well, you know, they call it a permit, but it's really give me some cash.
And we went through all that, man. I mean, these shows, you know, they cost a lot to put on, you know, and but we're willing to do it. You know, I don't care if we just break even on the show, because at the end of the day, it allows us as a gym to display what we do in a competition. You know, a lot of people got gyms, but they don't fight. Yeah. So if you're not fighting, you ain't a real MMA gym to me, you know. Mm-hmm. So we put our name on the line every time we do the shows. And, you know, at the realistic possibility of us hurting ourselves. You know what I mean? Right. You know, we got some dudes coming there and beat us up. I'm sure ain't nobody coming to join the gym.
Yeah,
but it is what it is.
What about you know? Hold, real quick. Another good thing about that show was it showed you guys setting up for the fight, which it's a lot of work. People don't realize, right. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it. They played it pretty quick, but I was like, that's a lot of chairs. That's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And people sometimes just show up at an event and think it runs smooth, right?
Right, right. Like I said earlier, man, everybody just show up for the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the homies come there and be the homie.
Yeah.
But when I got to clean up beer bottles and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, put them chairs away, right?
Yeah, like, mop your pissy shit off the floor in the bathroom, you know what I mean?
So they all gone, you know? You said about 500 people?
About 500.
You got to get one of those guys in the bathroom that gives you, like, mints and towels and stuff, man.
Oh, no, we'll be bougie, man. I can't do
up
that.
The price is up to $60, man. Have that dude in there. Can you use the bathroom in peace, man?
What about business-wise? I mean, are you, did your business skyrocket after that show, or you got people coming from you from all over the place now?
You know
or?
What? To be honest, I think it's a combination of things that helped the gym. It was the show. It was me fighting that was televised as well. We have fighters that fight that get out there. So I think what happens is the more people that are talking about us or Googling Fight Academy or, you know, see all the posts I put up on Facebook, we're active, you know, and we validate it. You know, we're right. doing something everywhere. Like we got a couple kids that competed at the, Gracie Nationals today. One of our little ones, our little 6 year olds took first place today, little Ralphie. So no matter how you look at it, you know, we're just in the mix. And I think doing that, people know that we validate it. You know, we're not a fake gym. We're not I don't want to say no names, but you know, we ain't a fake gym.
Do you take a lot of people out to grappling tournaments and stuff too?
We starting to get into it now. You know, me, myself, I'm all, I'm MMA, you know, through and through. I don't really like the grappling tournaments. But I think the visibility is good, and it is a part of what we do. So I want people to know that we can go in there, and you know, we can whip it up in there too.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, you're not gonna put a kid in an MMA fight. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like, we are actually. You know,
but
what I mean?
That's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
We getting ready to our kids fight, man. You know, they
fight
put on
for Lego
gears.
Sets.
They fight for push-ups, actually. You know what I mean?
Wow. That's the motivation.
Yeah, they fight for push-ups.
The winner gets this brand new power wheel. Man, they're going out there.
No, but honestly, man, we're going to do that. I'm getting ready to do some kids MMA. And what it's going to be, more or less, is we're going to take away the ground and pounding. So what we're going to do is have pretty much like some modified rules. It'll be kickboxing with takedowns, because I think that part of the game is going to be real prevalent for them growing up as fighters. You know, you got to have good kickboxing, good takedowns, or takedown defense.
And elbows or no elbows?
No elbows.
Come on, dude.
But they'll do knees. I'll let them do knees to the body. You know, all of my kids, they fight full rules. They do knees to the body. I let them kick and hit to the head. I just don't let them knee to the face, of course. You know, all the parents to take the kids out. You know,
right. Yeah,
but,
right.
But they go hard, you know, and I've even lost a couple kids, you know, a couple parents, you know, took little Johnny out because, you know, all the little kids was a little too tough. And, you know, and I tell parents when they walk in the door, don't say Tennis Academy on the door. You know what I mean? Say Fight Academy on the door. Yeah. And that's what we do. So
you should have them do like homework in between rounds just to make sure you're getting the educational aspect in there.
Yeah. You know, we it's funny you saying all this, man, because we do actually push them to do it. I got a little room for them, a little playroom that before class, if they got homework, they need to do it. And, you know, we push that because a lot of the parents don't let them train unless their grades are right, you know?
Well, you know, it's different. They probably don't. I mean, you're a parent yourself, so obviously you're not going to just let some kid get beat up either, right?
No, I'm not going to let him get beat up, but I am going to let him find out who he is as a fighter. You know what I mean? He's going to get pushed deep, even my own son. You know, my own son, he cry every sparring session. Something always happens.
Yeah.
But, he sucks it up, and he's one of the toughest kids in there. He's really technical, and, you know, sometimes, you know, he got it bad because, you know, of course, it's my gym, and I'm the one there kind of running everything, and he's expected to do good. But, you know, I'm letting him find himself as a fighter, and he's learning it on his own. And as far as he want to take it, I'm a ride with him.
Yeah. Right on. Looks like we also have a caller on the line. Christian. Are you there, Christian?
Hey, what's going on? First time listener, big fan of Savant.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, they call me House.
He's a calm house. You know this cat?
House.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah,
man?
What's up, House? Yeah.
I've been listening to this radio.
Good.
For a minute.
Good, as you should. What you doing, man? This is another Proven Ground supporter right here, man.
All right.
So, nice.
All right. Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to your show, too, by the way, man.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. I mean, just wanted to show my respects to Kevon. I know he's a hard worker. Works hard. You know, he's a great family, man. So
He's been knowing this from the beginning, man. You know what I mean? He knows Savant for what it is, for real.
Yeah.
It ain't no games. This ain't no, I just woke up saying I want to be a fighter, went and bought a tap out shirt, and now I'm a fighter all of a sudden. You know what I mean? So, I was here well into the game way back, you know, and, I'm actually grateful to be from the time I'm from because, you know, there's a lot of, little paperweight fighters out there now, you know, so. You know, it's all official on my end.
Yeah, it's true, man, and I can vouch for that. So,
all right.
I mean, very excited about Proving Ground 7 coming up. So,
did you buy your tickets already?
Yeah, I bought 4.
All right. Hey, if you want to sit in the front, you got to get there early, man. Don't be late.
Yeah, he there. He always there, baby.
Yeah, man, big guy can't live without the tacos before the fight.
Hey, so what you think about having a guy in the bathroom hand out paper towels?
Oh, yeah, about that.
I don't know if I can do that, man. They'll really be talking about me.
Nah, man, I'm just kidding with that, dude.
Savant Bougie. You know? He's from the west side.
The chair's got pillows and stuff on him.
Yeah, man, so I just wanted to drop by, you know, say hello to everybody, you know, just tell everybody how Savant works and how much of a hard worker he is, man.
No, I appreciate that, man. You know what I mean? All love, House. You've been supporting us from day one. You know what I'm saying? So that's much love on that, bro.
All right, man. You guys have a wonderful night. Good night.
All right, man. Thanks for listening, man. All right.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
It's your buddy House.
Yeah, he's
dude,
an OG.
Is it big dude?
Yeah, that's why we call him House.
Well, I was just curious, you know?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, he said something else interesting, too. He said tacos before the fight.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you guys have somebody out there selling tacos or what?
Yeah, man, you gotta have some tacos, man. You
got
come
the hot dogs with bacon out there too?
Nah, we don't do that. Nah. I don't do the hot dogs with bacon. I'm sorry. They smell good.
You haven't drank enough, good. That's why.
I guess so.
That's like eating Tommy's. You had Tommy's, right?
Yeah, I had.
Tell me when you did you eat Tommy's sober?
No, I didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did use Tommy's to soak up the liquor. I won't lie.
Yeah, I think those bacon wrap hot dogs are not good outside of downtown LA.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Probably not.
It's probably not good for you at all.
No, you know what? They're only good after 2 in the morning. You eat them any other time, you have some issues, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, we got a full bar at Proving Grounds. We do the full bar, and I usually have a reggae band come out and play. You know, I got to contact our band. I usually play the Hashishans, real cool band, you know what I mean? And, but we like the live music element, you know, along with the DJ, and it's just kind of get everybody warmed up for the fights, you know. That live music is always good, live reggae music, you know, and it's always a good turnout.
Yeah. So studios here are sponsoring it's called Boogie by the River Festival. It's got all live music.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, March 10th, something like that. Is that right, Jeremy?
Where's that going to be at?
That's going to be here in downtown LA, I believe.
It's a place called Space Camp, I think, or Catnip, or
downtown?
I think it's like Chinatown area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the day after I fight, so hopefully I ain't beat up. I can come.
Yeah, it's like all day, all night, man.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's called, if you go on skidrowstudios.com, you can, there's probably a link on there. It's called Boogie by the
I'll do that for sure, because by that time, I'm going to need a little reggae in my life.
Yeah. I was looking at the list, and they got all kinds of dudes. They got some rapper named Folkzilla, the rapper.
Yeah, lots of bands. It's at, 1726 North Spring Street. So yeah, that's like Lincoln Heights, Chinatown area, I guess. So yeah, go check that out.
Nice.
Cool.
All right.
Did you like the reggae? I didn't know you liked the reggae.
I'm a Rasta at heart, you know what I mean?
I was just trying to see if I had a reggae intro. Oh, dude, I got one right here for you.
He's having fun with this iPad here.
The DJ on the go.
Yeah. we can't DJ, man.
I'm sure they do with the crates ready to beat you up now, man.
I can do some vinyl, man. I used to have Technique 1200s.
Oh, you
know?
Did?
Yeah.
What happened, man?
Oh, come on, dude.
What happened?
I don't want to carry. I can afford to stock those milk crates with records and stuff.
You got turntables on your iPhone. You know what I mean?
I got turntables on this thing, too. So, you're old school, too, man, right? You used to like hip-hop and stuff, you said? You're a big freestyler?
I used to do my little bit, man. I used to, I don't know if you know who Murph is. I used to run around with that cat. You know, Murph's from Living Legends. We used to be real cool.
Why does that name sound so familiar?
He's been around. He does one of the true little gems from the hood. You know what I mean? That ain't really Hollywood. He's kind of kept it grinded his way up through the underground. And, you know, now he's respected as an artist. I mean, they don't play him all day like Drake and whoever else they be playing on the radio nowadays. But, no.
All right, it's your time right here, dude. I put your Drake on for you.
Oh, man, you're killing me, man.
Go ahead, dude. Go.
Radio silence.
All right. Yeah. You don't like Drake, huh?
Nah, I can't do it.
You a Common fan?
Common's cool, man. Yeah. Common's legit. I'm a big Roots fan. The Roots.
Yeah, Roots are good, yeah.
Gangstar, you know what I mean? OG stuff.
And so for this Proving Ground 7, how many fights do you have scheduled on the card for that one?
Man, I got a lot scheduled, but like I said, you know, fighters say they want to fight, and you know, that morning something happened to their dog, or you know, they lost the keys to the car. So I don't know how many people gonna show up, but we try to have you know, anywhere from 8 to 10.
That is a crazy aspect of, like, you know, Proving. This is your 7th one, so obviously you've been through, you know, you've been to the turnpike on these. But like, I know sometimes you have guests and they can't make it last minute, and you're scrambling around trying to get stuff going. It's pretty stressful when you got fighters doing that, because you got, it's not just themselves, you got somebody else, and now you're throwing off the whole line. And
yeah, you know, one kid sold 50 tickets, and now he don't got an opponent. So that's when my altered ego comes in. You know, my altered ego is Dana Black. when I turn into promoter mode, I'm Dana Black. So, you know, I make it happen. I've been doing it for 7 shows. It's always been a good show. You know, I've had our last show. I'm not even gonna lie, man. Our last show, we didn't sell no tickets till day of. You know what I mean? And it was still 500 people there that just came to the show just to watch it. So I think we got a good product and quality fights and a quality atmosphere that everybody, you know, is into. So, and it's laid back, man. That's the thing. It's not all.
Nah, but you come across, you're a cool dude, right? You don't like walk with a big head or nothing. So I think people respect that in you, because at least you've been in the cage and you know what it's like. And so I think.
Right. That helps. You know, like I said, I'm not one of those guys that's just got a little money.
Yeah.
And decided I can just get into something because I got some money. You know what I mean? So. I'm tried and tested, and I done been through it, and I've put all my hard earned, you know, money and time up, and got a good partner that ride with me till the end. And
Did he fight as well, or is he just a good friend?
Nah, he don't fight, but you know, he's a practitioner. You know what I mean? He's been training for a few years, so you know, he's legit, and he's one of those guys that even though he you know, he's not a fighter. He enjoys every aspect of the fight.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, I mean, like a little off topic, but how do you deal with losses? I mean, because you've had wins and losses, right?
Yeah, wins, losses. I mean, I got 8 losses. I got, you know, as a professional, I got 13 wins. As an amateur, I think I'm somewhere around a neighborhood of 20-8, you know, total. But first few fights for pro, you know, I mean, I didn't really have a long amateur career or whatever. So, you know what it is? It's you got to look at it like, you know what you signed up for, you know, it's win or lose.
Right.
It's like having a bad day in the office. You still got to take your ass to work Monday. You know what I mean? You can't really
back to business.
To business, you know? So it do hurt, and it hurt to lose in front of the family. You know, I done lost in front of my kids and you know, in front of a big crowd, and, you know, and it's tough. But at the same time, I think you get a lot more respect by how you come back and fight again as opposed to how you lost your last fight.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you do that in front of family and friends and stuff. It's a good lesson for kids, because it's a good way to, you know, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, but you keep on moving forward, right? You don't let it knock you down.
Yeah, they got to just, you know, just let you know you're human, you know what I mean? Sometimes your kids have the ability to look at you like you're superhuman. And, you know, and I need them to know that some days it's going to be good, some days it's not. You're going to win some games, lose some games.
I think a lot of people forget too, you know, in MMA, you know, looking at the records, there are just so many ways to lose. It's not like boxing where you see like, you know, really, really high records and things like that. They forget it. In MMA, you know, there's just so many different ways, you know, a fight can go.
And on top of that, you know, a lot of boxers pad their records up. You know, boxers will fight the same dude 9 times. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, you know, where's it at for real? Yeah. You know, where are you really at? So one thing with me is I started out fighting tough guys right out the gate. You know, like my second or third fight, I fought against Chris Lytle, who had maybe 40 fights at the time.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, you know, that just goes to show that, you know, you got to just have some grit as a person before you decide to get in there and want to be a pro fighter.
You got Kendall Grove too.
Oh yeah.
How do you even set up for that? I mean, someone who's a lot taller. What is he?
Kendall Grove is 6'6", man.
Yeah, 6'6".
You know what, man? You just gotta, like I said, that's one of the reasons why I became a fighter, man. I had a complex because I was not 6 feet. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I had to prove to all the big dudes that you know, we can get out there and put it down too.
Right, right. And you actually did beat him, right? Did you?
Oh yeah, I put Kendall Grove to sleep.
Man. Oh, really? Nice.
It looks like we also have a caller on the line. Do we got Nathan on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, yep. Nathan, thanks for calling in. You're on with Savant Young.
Nathan, hey, what's up?
Savant, this is from Nathan from Ascent, the Ascent days.
Oh, wow. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Just seeing you do your thing and just let everybody know, man, this guy's really the man, like putting it in like big time. I've seen this guy hours and hours putting in work at his place. I wasn't there, but I've seen him, you know, coming in on a regular job and putting it in. I'm just happy to see you doing it like this now, man.
He seen me clock in. You know, I worked graveyard for 8 years. In addition to trying to fight professionally, in addition to raising both my kids, you know what I mean? And my kids never went to no preschool or nothing. I potty trained. I did it all, you know what I mean? So, Nathan, we used to work together, man, in post-production, actually, in Burbank. And, you know, I knew he was a fan. We used to always be in passing saying, what's up, man? He's definitely been a supporter of not only me, I mean, the sport in general, man. So, it's definitely been cool, and it's good to hear from the people that really know who I am. I got a lot of people that talk a lot of ish, but the ones that know me, they know me. You know what I mean? And you guys are hearing it now. So, you know, for all the naysayers, I hope they listening to this today so they can, you know.
Definitely, man. I try to spread on what I can spread. I listen to other shows and everything else, and I try to, like, get people aware of you and what you're doing. And, you know, and anything I can do in my little way, because I'm always busy myself, so I might not get to go check out Proving Grounds like I've been wanting to forever.
Oh, man, so I'm going to tell you right now, if you come, you're good. I'm going to put you in the little VIP section, man.
When is it coming up? When is this next one? I didn't get to see that date.
It's February 18th.
18th, okay.
Yeah, man, okay. Just show up to the gym. Ask for me at the door, man. You good. You've been missing out. This is number 7, so you know you got to get in there, bro.
Lucky number 7, dude. Exactly. You got to get in there, man.
Luckily number 7.
So what's this Ascent? Is that like where you guys worked at, or what is Ascent? Because you said he knows you back from the Ascent days.
Yeah, Ascent Media is one of the biggest post production companies. You know, they do it all. You know what I mean? And they laid us off.
They were recently bought by Deluxe. I'm sorry to cut in.
Oh, that's all right.
They were bought by Deluxe, but Deluxe Labs is even bigger, so, you know.
It's the big juggernaut. Like I said, that corporate money, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, well, thanks.
Pretty much any show you've seen out there, it's come from from that place.
Any show.
Or movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Right on. Well, thank you very much for the call, Nathan.
Yeah, hey, thanks for calling and listening, man.
And I'm going to be listening to you guys more, man. I'm first time checking in, and it's cool. I download your app and everything, and I'll spread the word for you guys, man. It's cool.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And if you go to Proving Ground 7, I'll give you a shout out on the radio.
Yeah, they're going to be live in studio, man. They're going to be there live at Proving Grounds.
Oh, awesome. That's
yeah,
great,
so make sure you're there.
Look for us hanging out with Find Me Clothing.
All right, very cool. You guys have a good one.
All right, Nate. Take care, bro.
All right, man. Man, you got a whole blowing up the phone lines.
Oh, that's cool, man. You know, maybe see if I had my Twitter cracking, I'd have it blown up in here. You know?
I try Twitter. I can't get it, man.
I don't even know how you do it, bro. I'm just, they just said I should have it. So, yeah. You know, I guess I need to lock it in. You know what I mean?
I've just finished punching a bag, you know?
Yeah.
Just Twitter everything, dude.
Yeah, that's, I guess that's good and bad, right?
Yeah. Well, then you get so consumed by it, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what did we do back in the day? We didn't do none of that, right?
No, we didn't do none of that. No.
No, we sent, we used our pagers back then.
Yeah, we used pagers.
Wow, pagers.
I remember getting a busy signal on phones, you know what I mean? Yeah. You don't get that no more.
There was no area codes on the business card, right? It's all one area code.
No call waiting, you know what I mean?
Call, wait, get off the phone.
Or even no caller ID, you pick up the phone, you even know who it is.
You don't know who it is.
I used to write it and put it in my peachy folder. What you know about that, dude? With the guy at the basketball in there?
Come on, man.
Old school.
That's real old school.
I used to take the paper bags and turn them into book covers.
That's funny.
Well, it looks like we're just about coming to a close here. We want to put out, where can all of our listeners find you, and where, besides your...
I got SavantYoung.com. Of course, you know, I don't really update a lot on that since I'm the one man gang. But, you know, Fight Academy, MMA, that's our gym website. I'm now on Twitter at SavantYoung. And then on top of that, I got my Facebook. I got all the basic forms of communication. I may even have a MySpace, man. I don't know.
Oh, come on, dude. I'm going to have to censor that, dude.
But yeah, man, basically through you know, the Facebook is the number one. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's the new method of communication now.
Yeah. And then Proving Grounds 7, any information, can they get that off your
off the website? Okay. All the Proving Grounds 7 info. We got a Fight Academy fan page actually on Facebook, and I update that all the time with you know, info about the gym, sparring footage, clips, quotes of the day, a little bit of everything on there. I try to keep that as active as possible. And the show again is on February 18th. Hopefully it'll be a good show if all the fighters show up. I know my guy's gonna be ready to go. And
what time's that start at?
Doors will be opening at 5:30. First fight will be around 7.
Okay.
Let everybody get good and drunk, you know what I mean? And you know, from there.
Open bar, or what is it over there?
I'm just kidding. Oh, man. I'm like, no, I can't say that. But no, full bar. Definitely okay. Full bar.
You know? Got some food, too? So.
Yeah, I got my man from El Chavo Tacos coming out.
All right.
You know what I mean? Best tacos in Pasadena.
Well, now, what about parking situation? What's the parking situation like up there?
We got some parking in the area behind the gym. We got a little lot next door.
Okay, so get there early, man. Get a good parking spot. Early. Get some good seats. Right?
Anybody familiar with Pasadena know the parking situation. Right.
Don't park in the red.
Anyone local that's listening, you know, make sure you get your tickets early. You know, tell everybody.
Hey, where can they buy those at?
www.fightacademymma.com. Okay, we got a tab on the website that'll allow you to go on and buy tickets through PayPal. You don't even need to have a PayPal account or whatever. We just use PayPal to do the transaction.
What about at your door? Can they buy them at your door?
Tickets at the door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, back door, front door.
Side door.
Definitely try to get them early.
Just get in there, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, 500 people last time sold out, man.
Yeah.
You better get your tickets soon.
And you know what? Every seat in there is a good seat, though.
Every seat in there is good.
Yeah, because the way it's laid out, you know, obviously we're talking about that show that was on Current TV about your place.
Right,
but, like, every seat's a good seat.
Yeah, everybody's nice and tight. And, you know, we try to keep it where you can see wherever you're sitting at.
As long as House is not sitting in front of you.
Yeah, House might take a little room up, you know what I mean? But, you know, like I said, he's VIP, so I'm going to set him in his own area.
All right.
By the Fight Me Girls.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And Rich in his Fight Me shorts.
No.
I have to cut weight. I don't want to cut weight.
Cut weight first.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good, man. Hey, anything else?
I think that's it for us. And
you got anything else you want to plug? You want to shout out to the wife and the kids?
Shout out to my wife Rahima, Amara, Sadiq, my kids. You know, I love y'all. Big up to all my Fight Academy Pasadena crew. It's so many of them. I wish I could say each one of y'all's name, man, but y'all know what time it is. Big up to my boy Antonio McKee, all my fam out there at the Body Shop Fitness. They, you know, we just came back from Canada victorious. You know, that's been all good. Big up to y'all, man. Matt Time, Skid Row, the boys all from 626 that support MMA, man, Chingasos, MMA, Fight Me, you know, all them dudes that support me and know what I am for who I am and don't listen to none of the naysayers. Big up to all them, man, because we keeping it going in the 626 area, and I support all what we do in Pasadena.
Yeah, good job, man.
All right, everybody.
Hold on, man. I got a couple of things before we go. I guess this Saturday coming up is Hector's birthday. That's our resident boxing guy. He's not here today, but
oh, all right.
So we won't be, you know, happy birthday, Hector. Stop drinking.
Happy
so
birthday,
much.
Homie.
Yeah, and then obviously March 10th starts at 3:00. We got that Boogie by the River Festival that Skid Row is sponsoring.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm.
So check that on the website, and then obviously, if you guys want to go get some hardcore training in, go down to Pasadena.
Hey, and I'm fighting, by the way.
Yeah, that's right, right?
March 9th at Tachi Palace.
How is that place, man?
Tachi Palace is a real cool place, man.
Everyone talks about having good stuff over there.
Yeah, yes. I'm from Millennia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was supposed to fight somebody from up there, but it didn't work out, I guess.
I'm scared of you, man. They're scared.
I don't know, man. You know, everybody... you know, to each his own. You know what I mean? I'll fight anybody, anytime, anywhere. So all I can do is say what I'll do.
We'll go find your guy outside on Skid Row, man.
Yeah, if he got some money, I'm ready.
He'll have some change, but he'll want your money. Yeah, man. Well, thanks for coming through, man. Appreciate your time.
Thank y'all, man. Big up, man. Mad time, Skid Row.
We're going to see you. Proving Ground 7, right?
Proving Ground 7.
We'll
be there.
Y'all going to get to the door. You're not going to be like, who?
Nah, I don't do that. I keep it real, baby.
All right, everyone. Till next week. And we'll see you next time.
Krail out.
This is Buddha Videos, and when we're not filming Rolled Up, we're listening to Matt Time Radio on SkidRowStudios.com.